You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's interesting how one person can have an influence on many people. And today we are remembering an act like that. One person. One person who thought that he wanted to get out a message to let people know that maybe there was some truth that needed to be recognized. One person who wasn't looking for division, but looking for unity. Martin Luther, more than 500 years ago, was that one person. He wanted to make sure that the gospel message of Jesus was understood by all of those around him. And so he took the steps that were available to him. He organized his thoughts. He posted them on the church door. And really, this was the social media of the day. The church door was where the people would go to get their news and to share their thoughts. And I'm sure that Luther had no understanding that his actions would still be talked about today. That what he did in his own little way would grow and reverberate across the church and across the world. He wrestled during his life with what he wanted to become and what God wanted him to become. And he became something. Maybe the question I want to ask you today is, what do you want to be when you grow up? Recently, LEGO took a poll of kids across the country and asked that same question. It was done to honor the 50th anniversary of the moon landing. Now, not coincidentally, I would say when I was a kid, the number one thing kids wanted to be when they grew up was an astronaut. Well, these days, when polled, the kids, only 11% answered that they wanted to be an astronaut. It was the fourth most popular answer. The rest of the list was this. Number three, I think, would be easy. You'd put this up here for everybody. Pro athlete was number three. Number two was a surprise, and a surprise for me because my wife is one and my son is one. It was teacher. Number two, what do you want to be when you grow up, is teacher for kids today. Three times as many people, though, voted for number one than they did for astronaut. A third of the students replied, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be an influencer. I want to be a YouTuber. You know, astronauts are cool, but not for today's kids. They're not as cool as YouTubers. And I think a big part of that idea is the idea that you can make a difference right now. Kids understand that it's a long road to becoming an astronaut. You know, there's a lot of things that you're going to have to do, tests that you have to take, classes that you have to pass. But the unique part about being an influencer is you don't need to grow up for that. It's possible to start a YouTube career with just an idea and a smartphone. And even though you're young, even though you're just little old you, you can make a difference in the lives of others. Now, I know some of you probably think that this is sad, but I think that the sentiment behind it is actually kind of cool. You can make a difference right now, just using what you have at your disposal. And not just make a difference. You see others who are making a difference, like Luther, that splash across the world. Now, here's some interesting statistics for you. I looked up who are the most followed influencers on different platforms. Now, on TikTok, I'm guessing there probably aren't many TikTok users in here. The number one most followed person on TikTok is Charli D'Amelio. She has 87.7 million followers. On YouTube, the number one most followed, and I'm sure many of you follow this one, PewDiePie is the number one most followed YouTuber who has 106.7 million subscribers. But the big numbers came in at Instagram. Cristiano Ronaldo, who's also a professional soccer player but an influencer, has 238 million followers on Instagram. Now, to give you a little perspective on that, Time Magazine has 3 million subscribers. So almost 100 times as many people subscribe to this Instagram person as they do to Time Magazine. And really, it's around us all over these days. People are taking a shot at trying to influence the world around them through small actions. It really reminds me of Luther 500 years ago. It's kind of thrilling to think in those large global terms. What do you want to be when you grow up? Well, these kids today say, I want to be an influencer now. And you know what? Jesus says that same thing to you. That if you follow him, you will be set free. And you will be a person of influence. This is what Jesus says to us. In Matthew, Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. And he says, you are the light of the world. Not that you have the potential to be, or if you try really hard, you can be, just that you are. I want to read for you a passage from Matthew 5. And this is Jesus speaking. Let me tell you why you are here. You are to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and you'll end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be a light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. And now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Now, this salt and light business was part of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount was something that Jesus delivered early in his ministry, according to Matthew. And it's almost like a political platform, which is kind of apropos for us right now to think of this in political terms. This is someone who's running for office who wants to lay out in full detail what is promised to come. And Jesus' first step in the Sermon on the Mount is to tell us that we're blessed when we apprentice ourselves to him. Not because of anything we do, but actually in spite of who we are blessed because Jesus blesses us. And the second step, the second plank in his platform is to tell us that we are salt and light. Well, to understand what he's saying, it's helpful to understand a little bit more about salt and light. Salt is a preservative. It's known in some climates, not that we ever need it here, to be used to melt ice on the sidewalk. The focus here is that salt, though, adds flavor to food. And it does so by actually drawing out the flavor that's already present in the food that it's been placed on. Now, rarely does one grain of salt get noticed, but when you add a dash, your meal can taste so much better. And now light grows things. It brings heat and sight. It helps us to be safe. We can't see any color or anything without light. Light helps guide us and lead us in dark places and helps us to understand and see and perceive. It's a symbol for enlightenment, knowledge, and spiritual awakening. And light is so much more powerful when there's more than just one light gathered. Salt and light are really kind of ordinary things. It's not like you don't see salt everywhere you go. It's in the restaurant, on the counter, it's in the kitchen. I've got big bags of it in my garage to keep my water soft. And you know, it's the same with light. The sun comes up every day. One thing I find very interesting about salt and light is that they have their impact by bringing out things other than themselves. Light allows us to see colors, mountain vistas, a golf ball flying through the air, the smile on a friend's face. And salt makes my French fries taste a whole lot better, and it draws out the flavor in a good steak. Both salt and light have their value because they empower us to see other things, to experience other things. People don't usually just start out by pouring salt in a bowl and eating it like Cheerios. That's not healthy. And neither is staring at the sun. But both salt and light are valuable because of their influence on other things. Salt and light are influencers. When Jesus says, "You are salt," and you are light, he's saying that we are going to have an impact, that we have been freed from our sins to have an impact. People are going to see the gospel and have their first taste of the gospel through their experiences with us. Furthermore, you need to know, and this is very important, that the you in you are in these passages, it's plural. Y'all are salt, and y'all are light. They're talking about us as individual believers, yes, but believers who are part of a family of believers. You are salt and light through the very way that you live out your faith in your everyday life, not through some great mission effort, as important as those are, but rather through the simple, profound ways that you live your faith every day. Salt and light are both ordinary things that we take for granted, but also things that we can't live without. That's what you are. Now, as similar as salt and light are, they are also both ingredients in the world that bring life and enhance things and make things better. They are also different in some ways. Jesus says that we are salt of the earth, and the earth here probably could be best interpreted as the land. So for many Christians, that would be the land right where they lived. And when Jesus talks about being salt of the earth, he's talking about having influence right here where you are. That this church here in Orange County, California, you are going to have a profound influence as believers right here in the communities and the workplaces, the families, the schools, the places where we play. You're going to have that influence right here, right now. And we're going to have a profound impact in our ordinary faithfulness, our ordinary integrity, our ordinary work ethic, our ordinary compassion, right where we are, doing what we do as believers. We should share our faith with the world as well, but you will look like a follower of Jesus to people. Now, Jesus also said that we are the light of the world. And the mission here, from this Old Testament context that I think this is drawn, the mission is one that goes from Israel and out into all the world. That light starts in one place, but it can be seen from a distance away. Its influence goes out from the source to fill an entire room, to light an entire skyline, and more. We're not only going to have influence on those that we are in intimate contact with, we will have an influence on people around the region and the state and the world. The light will shine and it can travel the globe. We have a light to go out as we raise children who are taught to love the grace of Christ and who then go to new places and give witness with their word and deed to the love and the goodness of God. The light will go out as we teach those around us and then we send them out into the world, giving God the glory. Go and see how the gospel is in the world around us. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are God's influencers here and in the world. You are God's hands and feet to build his kingdom values and influence from this building and beyond. And so be it. Amen.